So in your bulletin, my sermon title is A Prophet Like Moses, or Moshe. And in last week's Parsha, because we didn't get to hear a sermon, some of you might clap for that, others might say boo, whatever. We had our mikveh and picnic. And we didn't even get to this portion in Deuteronomy because we couldn't even get past chapter 17 and verse 3 of Deuteronomy, because that's how much there was. So in last week's Parsha, Shoftim, which means to judge, we read the following, and hopefully you did your study at home, even though we didn't do it here. Deuteronomy 18, 15 through 19. This will be our core, but keeping in mind, if you've learned anything about my MO, my modus operandi, I start with something, but then I just don't create a narrative. I allow Scripture to be that narrative. So there's going to be a lot of Scripture that are going to be part of Deuteronomy 18:15. Basically, it's God telling the story, but it's just my lips that are moving. So Deuteronomy 18:15. And I will raise up for you a prophet like me from among yourselves, from your own kinsmen. You are to pay attention to him, just as when you were assembled at Horeb and requested Adonai your God, don't let me hear the voice of Adonai my God anymore, or let me see this great fire ever again. If I do, I will die. I would have liked to have been there to see what they saw. On that occasion, Adonai said to me, Moses, they are right in what they are saying. I will raise up for them. Now God is speaking again. I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among your kinsmen, from among their kinsmen. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I order him. Whoever doesn't listen to my words, plural, which he will speak in my name, will have to account for himself to me. A prophet like Moses. Not just a prophet, but a prophet like Moses. We know the prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Samuel, Nathan, Eliyahu, to name a few, that they are messengers for Adonai. They convey his words to the people on behalf of him. Malachi means my messenger. In some instances it means my angel. This is the Hebrew. A prophet ordained by Adonai was elevated by Adonai to speak to the people on his behalf. We see Adonai anoint ones to be his messengers from very early on. From Samuel, it was through a mother's prayer before she had even conceived, where she promised that she would give the child back to Adonai to serve him. 1 Samuel 1:11. Then she took a vow. She said, Adonai, if you will notice how humiliated your servant is, if you will remember me and not forget your servant, but will give your servant a male child, I will give him to Adonai for as long as he lives, and no razor will ever come on his head. In other words, she was making a vow to give her child back to him if she would become pregnant. And then she made another vow upon him that he would become a Nazir. This is found in Numbers chapter 6. That's a teaching and a story for another day. Then we have Jeremiah, who began when he was a child. Jeremiah chapter 1. verses 5 through 9. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I separated you for myself. I have appointed you to be a prophet to the nation. From before he was born, God had his plan, his map, his life already mapped out. I said, "Oh Adonai," verse 6, "I don't even know how to speak. I'm just a child." But Adonai said to me, "Don't say I'm just a child, for you will go to whomever I send you, and you will speak whatever I order you. Do not be afraid of them, for I am with you, says Adonai, to rescue you." Then Adonai put out his hand and touched my mouth. And Adonai said to me, "There, I have put my words in your mouth." From the womb he was chosen. A prophet does not speak his own words, but the words of the one who anointed him. We read of the account of Moses in Exodus chapter 2, whereby he is born, protected from Pharaoh, from the Pharaoh of Egypt's ruling to kill all the male children born to the Hebrew slaves. In Exodus 1, 16 and 17, when you attend the Hebrew women and see them giving birth, he said, "If it's a boy, kill him, but if it's a girl, let her live." However, the midwives were God-fearing. So they didn't do as the king of Egypt ordered, but let the boys live. God's hand was in this right from the beginning. There was a plan for Moses. Moses was protected by his mother until he could not be hidden any longer. You know the rest of the story regarding what we know of Moses' life. He was raised by Pharaoh's daughter, became prominent in Egypt, and killed an Egyptian. Exodus chapter 2, verses 13 through 15. The next day he went out and saw two Hebrew men fighting with each other. To the one in the wrong he said, "Why are you hitting your companion?" He retorted, "Who appointed you ruler and judge over us?" Keep this in mind. This is someone from Israel talking to Moses. "Who appointed you to be ruler and judge over us?" Wait a minute. "Do you intend to kill me the way you killed the Egyptian?" Moses became frightened. Clearly, he thought the matter had become known. When Pharaoh heard of it, he tried to have Moses put to death. I find Moses' words and the words spoken to Moses as being prophetic themselves. "Who appointed you ruler and judge over us?" Keeping in mind, it would be approximately 40 years later. And if they were still alive, the two who were quarreling, they would have an answer to that question. Who indeed? For Moses, it would be 40 years after his fleeing from Egypt that he and Adonai would directly come into an encounter for the first time. Throughout his life, what little is recorded, we have seen Adonai's fingerprints all over him. Yet up until this moment, Moses had not encountered Adonai. Exodus chapter 3, starting in verse 2. The angel of Adonai appeared to him in a fire blazing from the middle of the bush. He looked and saw that although the bush was flaming with fire, yet the bush was not being burned up. Moses said, "I'm going to go over and see this amazing sight and find out why the bush isn't being burned up." So the angel appeared, but it wasn't the angel that spoke. When Adonai saw that he had gone over to see, God called to him from the middle of the bush. The angel got his attention. The messenger is to get your attention. God called out to him from the middle of the bush. Moses, Moses, he answered. Hineni, here I am. He said, don't come any closer. Take your sandals off your feet, because the place where you are standing is holy ground. I am the God of your father, he continued, the God of Abraham, the God of Yitzhak, the God of Yaakov. Moses covered his face because he was afraid to look at God. Adonai said, I have seen how my people are being oppressed in Egypt, and heard their cry for release from their slave masters, because I know their pain. Moses was set apart, protected, raised by an Egyptian woman, all to get to this moment in time. The messenger got his attention. God spoke. Exodus 3:10 and 11. Therefore now come, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you can lead my people, the descendants of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and lead the people of Israel out of Egypt? And yet the words that were spoken to Moses many years ago would become a reality. Who appointed you ruler to judge over us? Adonai did. The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. The one who said, you are going to go back. You are going to present yourself to Pharaoh. And ultimately, you are going to say, let my people go. Not in his own authority or by his own authority, but by the authority of the one who sent him. So we move forward. Adonai would appoint Moses to be his representative and to be his judge, not just a prophet, but a judge. Exodus 18, starting in verse 13. The following day, Moses sat to settle disputes for the people. While the people stood around Moses from morning until evening, when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he was doing to the people, he said, what is this you are doing to the people? Why do you sit there alone with all the people standing around you from morning until evening? Moses answered his father-in-law, it's because the people come to me seeking God's guidance. Whenever they have a dispute, it comes to me. I judge between one person and another, and I explain to them God's laws and teachings. Not only did he speak for God by the words that God placed upon him, but he judged for God based on the laws given by God. So what is the purpose of a judge, as conveyed here? What does Adonai say? This was also from last week's Parsha. And we spent a good deal of time on these few verses. Deuteronomy chapter 16, verses 18 through 20. You are to appoint judges and officers for all your gates in the cities Adonai your God is giving you, tribe by tribe, and they are to judge the people with righteous judgment. You are not to distort justice or show favoritism, and you are not to accept a bribe, for a gift blinds the eyes of the wise and twist the words of even the upright. Justice, only justice, you must pursue, so that you will live and inherit the land Adonai your God is giving you. And I didn't read further, but Moses' father-in-law was basically giving him the structure. You will oversee the weightier matters, but place people under you, and then place people under them, and then place people under them to the point where you will not be burdened with every decision. But the decisions that are difficult, are too hard, go up the ladder. Think of Moses as God's Supreme Court, the final decision, so to speak, the seat of Moses. Keeping in mind, we have a Supreme Court, and there are 9 jurists on it. Because man does not always agree. But keeping in mind, Moses is not judged by himself. He is the representative of the judge. So the purpose of a judge is to rule over the people's disputes, and that you are to rule according to that which is just. Justice, only justice, we read. A fair ruling. One that is not tainted by bias or influenced to favor one side over the other. Moses, as a prophet for Adonai, should be obvious. He spoke on his behalf to the people of Israel. Moses spoke on behalf of God to the people of Israel. But just in case you aren't going to take my word, Numbers chapter 12, starting in verse 6, he said, "Listen to what I say. When there is a prophet among you," he is talking to Aaron and Miriam, because they were getting a little contentious, a little prideful. "Well, we're just as important as Moses." No, you're not. Verse 6 continues, "I, Adonai, make myself known to him in a vision, and I speak with him in a dream." "I make myself known to him in a vision, I speak with him in a dream." But, now that's a prophet, not Moses. Let me reiterate. "Listen to what I say. When there is a prophet among you, I, Adonai, make myself known to him in a vision, I speak with him in a dream. But," verse 7, "it isn't that way with my servant Moses. He is the only one who is faithful in my entire household. With him I speak face to face and clearly." Not face to face, but directly. Face to face is a Hebrew idiom meaning directly, not by dreams and visions. But he speaks with him in an audible voice where they connect and they dialogue together. "He is the only one that is faithful in my entire house. I speak with him face to face and clearly, not in riddles. He sees the image of Adonai, so why weren't you afraid to criticize my servant Moses?" Did anyone else see his image on the mountain? He didn't see the fullness, but he saw an image of him. So Moses isn't like all the other prophets by means of how Adonai spoke to them. They all had his word spoken to them, but the relationship was different. It wasn't as direct as it was with Moses. Yet it didn't mean they were any less of being Adonai's prophets. It just means that they were not a prophet like Moses. Some would say that Deuteronomy 18:15 Adonai will raise up a prophet like me from among yourselves, from your own kinsmen. You are to pay attention to them. Some believe it's speaking of Joshua, who was raised up directly after Moses, guided the people and judged the people in what would later become identified as the seed of Moses. Matthew chapter 23 and verse 2. The Torah teachers and the Parashim, the Pharisees, sit in the seat of Moses. It is a place where it is like the high court of the nation. Some would even say that the prophet of Deuteronomy 18:15 is Samuel. He was the last of the judges prior to Israel wanting and receiving a king, first in the man of Shaul and later David. Yet if either of these perspectives were true, then why centuries later would you have people clamoring for the prophet? We see the urgent desire manifest itself and referenced on three separate occasions in Yochanan's Gospel and John's Gospel. Yochanan the Immerser was in the Jordan, immersing people and proclaiming the kingdom of heaven is near. Repent and return to Adonai, to which Yochanan's message and actions sparked people to question. John chapter 1, verse 19. Here is Yochanan's testimony. When the Judeans sent Kohanim and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, "Who are you?" He was very straightforward and stated clearly, "I am not the Messiah." "If you're not the Messiah," they wondered, "then who are you? Are you Eliyahu?" "No, I am not," he said. "Are you the prophet, the one we're expecting?" "No," he replied. Then the people would continue to probe Yochanan. In verse 25, they asked him, "If you are neither the Messiah, nor Eliyahu, nor the prophet, then why are you immersing people?" To them, Yochanan replied, "I am immersing people in water, but among you is standing someone whom you don't know. He is the one coming after me. I'm not good enough even to untie his sandals." To quote Deuteronomy, "A kinsman among them. He is among them, one of their own." Messiah, the anointed one, for which there are several dynamics to what this truly means. It can mean a king. It can mean a prophet. It can mean a high priest. It can mean all three of them in one. Eliyahu, the one who was caught up to heaven and had never seen death, for which the expectation of his return is incorporated into our Passover service. Our Passover Seder, we go and we open the door. We invite Eliyahu in, who is supposed to be the messenger of the Messianic age. The prophet. Been talking to you about the prophet, which we get from Deuteronomy 18:15. The second time this comes up was after Yeshua had fed 5,000. And speculation starts occurring. John chapter 6 and verse 13. They gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left by those who had eaten. The 2 fish and the 5 barley loaves. 5,000 were fed. There were 12 baskets of leftovers. That's like, wow. If they saw what Yeshua started with, and they knew, it's like everybody got fed. And then they see the end, it's like there's 12 baskets left. When the people saw the miracle, verse 14, he had performed, they said, "This has to be the prophet who is supposed to come into the world." Such a miracle, such a profound experience that he not only fed them with his words, but he also filled their bodies as well. Feeding 5,000 people with 2 fish and 5 loaves of bread, it is understandable that you would speculate, this has to be him. The prophet is supposed to come into the world, indicating it hasn't happened yet. The expectation not only exists, but has intensified. So we get to John chapter 7 and verse 40. On hearing his words, some of the people in the crowd said, "Surely this man is the prophet." Others said, "This is the Messiah." But others said, "How can the Messiah come from Galilee?" God confounds the wise. Nothing good comes out of Galilee. But keeping in mind, it was his words that prompted the response. And what were his words? John chapter 7, beginning in verse 37. "Now on the last day of the festival, Hoshana Rabbah, the last day of Sukkot, which we're coming into this season, about a month from now, Yeshua stood and cried out, 'If anyone is thirsty, let him keep coming to me and drinking. Whoever puts his trust in me, as the scriptures say, rivers of living water will flow from his inmost being.'" And then verse 39 is sort of an add-on. "Now he said this about the Spirit, whom those who trusted in him were to receive later. The Spirit had not yet been given because Yeshua had not yet been glorified." We're talking about words and actions. The first time in John 6, it was his actions. He fed 5,000 with one person's lunch. The second time, it was his words that got their attention. Consider this message from Yeshua, part of your preparation for the season that is already upon us. We are already in the month of Elul. What I've shared with you in the past is the month of preparation, the month of Teshuvah, so to speak, where you prepare yourselves coming into Rosh Hashanah and, in essence, culminating in Yom Kippur. I'll share more with you about that. Moving on, some will say Yeshua did not come to judge using this verse. "For God did not send the Son into the world to judge the world, but rather so that through him the world might be saved." Well, he's not a judge. But keeping in mind, it's judging of the world. And yet, he certainly acted as a judge, not of the world, but to his people. He spoke with authority, even as a youth. Luke chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. This should take you back to the times of Samuel and Jeremiah, speaking as a youth. On the third day, they found him. He was sitting in the temple court among the rabbis, not only listening to them, but questioning what they said. And everyone who heard him was astonished at his insight and his responses. It doesn't say it here, but someone to speak in such a way speaks in a position of authority, that they were amazed by what he was saying, how he responded, to where at least 18 years later would begin his mission to prepare the Jewish people for the kingdom of Adonai, doing all that had been prophesied in Scripture, for which even Yochanan the Immerser asked, the one who was asked before, "Are you the prophet?" Meanwhile, Matthew chapter 11, verse 2, Yochanan the Immerser, who had been put in prison, heard what the Messiah had been doing. So he sent a message to him through his Talmidim, asking, "Are you the one who has come, or should we look for someone else?" Go back a few years. What were his words? "The one coming after me is the one that I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals." Yet prison can do such a thing when you are facing death. To which Yeshua responded, conveying the very things identified by the prophet Isaiah to Yochanan. He answered, "Go and tell Yochanan, what you are hearing and seeing, the blind are seeing again, the lame are walking, the people with Tzaretz are being cleansed, the deaf are hearing, the dead are being raised, the good news is being proclaimed to the poor, and how blessed is anyone not offended by me. The tikkun of the people is happening. The restoration of the people is happening. And this restoration includes judging those who are in the seat of Moses." Matthew chapter 23 and verse 23. Keeping in mind there's seven woes here, I'm only focusing on one. "Woe to you hypocritical Torah teachers and Pharisees! You pay your tithes of mint, dill, and cumin, but you have neglected the weightier matter of Torah, justice, mercy, and trust. These are the things you should have attended to without neglecting the others." Going back to Deuteronomy 16, that's the foundation. Yeshua is, in essence, taking them back to Deuteronomy 16. Yet it wasn't the world he was judging, but the people of Israel, with the intent of preparing them for the kingdom of Adonai. He did come to judge his people, not to condemn, but through justice and his mercy, cause them to return to him. "I will raise up for them a prophet like you from among their kinsmen. I will put my words in his mouth, and he will tell them everything I order him. Whoever doesn't listen to my words, which he will speak in my name, will have to account for himself to me." In other words, be judged. So Yeshua is, in essence, the one coming before the one who actually judges. Yet he is judging. He is judging the leaders. He is bringing them to a point of conviction, not condemning them, but freeing them from bondage, from the yoke of legalism. Not the law, not Torah, but legalism of the law, which is the count against the leaders. So when we talk about a prophet like Moses, Hopefully you have a better understanding of what that means. It's not just a prophet, but you have to look at who Moses is to understand who Yeshua is. And in essence, they are not one and the same. But ultimately, Moses coming first was the benchmark by which Yeshua would, in essence, reveal himself. So you know who the prophet is. Don't be deceived. Know firsthand that God is... I'm going to put this. When he says something, it is done. Not in our time. Because others speculated. Well, it's Joshua. Oh, no, it's Samuel. Even today, within traditional Judaism, they believe the prophet to be Joshua. Yet you know better. Not because of your wisdom or knowledge, but because of what God has revealed to you. So continue in his ways and in his truth, resting assured that the prophet who was expected has come and will return. So if everybody will please rise. And how appropriate that we are talking about the prophet as we are getting ready to enter into the season when we believe he will return. I'll talk more about that, and that's throughout our website. You can look at past messages where I talk about the prophetic blueprint that God has put in place with regards to the end times and the fall feasts. Adonai said to Moses, "Speak to Aaron and his sons and tell them that this is how you are to bless the people of Israel. You are to say to them, Yivarecha Adonai v'yishmerecha, Yayer Adonai penev l'vichunecha, Yisei Adonai penev l'cha v'yasem l'cha shalom. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord shine his face upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord manifest his presence to you and give you peace. In this way they are put my name on the people of Israel so that I, the Lord, will bless them. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father and our King, Lord, we thank you for this time. And Lord, first and foremost, we thank you for the prophet that you have sent us in Yeshua, our Messiah. For Lord, you have become flesh and you dwelt among us. You are the one and the only, the Echad. And Lord, we wait expectantly upon your return, not for the prophet, but for the King who is coming as prophet and Messiah and high priest. For Lord, you are all one in the same as those are. Lord, may you be honored and may you be glorified. In Messiah's name we give thanks and together we say, Amen.